You're listening to RTE Lyric Live from the Dublin International Piano Competition.
Well, what a great moment it is for us here on RTE Lyric FM to welcome another of the great names associated with this competition this year, indeed with any competition any year, the pianist Piers Lane. And Piers, welcome to RTE Lyric Live. Thank you so much for taking time away from your judicial responsibilities to give us a little inside information as to what actually happens on an occasion such as this. Of course, born in London, brought up on the Gold Coast in Australia. For the rest of us in the world, I think you first really came to international prominence in a very quick way as a winner at the inaugural Sydney International Piano Competition back in 1977. And I'm imagining that must be something that comes back to you again and again when you're involved in an occasion such as this.
That's for sure. Thank you, Paul. Yes, it's particularly salient now because I've been the artistic director of the Sydney International Piano Competition since 2015. And so we've actually delayed the next competition until 2027 so that it will chime. It'll be 50 years since that first competition. I can't believe I'm 50 years on from that. But, you know, those early memories stay with you always, and they certainly do inform how you feel about competitions yourself, you know.
It's interesting, Piers, isn't it, the way that for young musicians now, well, it's always been the case perhaps, but particularly now, and with international communication being so immediate, that the competition is a very important part of the initial experience.
It is. You know, no musician really loves the idea of competition. I mean, how can you compare apples and pears? We want every pianist in the world to be different and to have their own voice. And so in a way, it's iniquitous to compare people and say, this is better than that. But young musicians still need every opportunity they can get to get their names before the public and to garner experience all over the place. And competitions is a way of doing that. It gives them a goal to work towards. They have this particular date to get something ready for, as we have to do in professional life all the time. They have the opportunities to travel the world and see extraordinary places. They often know the people against whom they're competing because they've met at other competitions. But of course, with the internet and YouTube and so on, they all know before they arrive just how their rivals play as well. Very often there are videos of them all strutting their stuff already, you know. So the level these days is extraordinary because they have access to all the past archives of great pianists playing the works that they'll play, but also to the work of their fellow competitors. And so the standard, I find, I judged the Singapore Piano Competition earlier this year, and I'm doing a couple more later in the year. And each year I'm flabbergasted by the general level. Not only technically, I mean, for years we've said that virtuoso standards are phenomenal. You more or less take it for granted that everybody will have mastered the works that they're playing and they can negotiate everything with total ease on the piano. Not quite true, but largely so. But these days as well, the whole musical landscape has changed. They seem at a very early age to have a real understanding of the depths of music. Of course, not in all cases, but it's remarkable the last 10 years how much the general level has risen. And it's quite worrying to think, where are all these fantastic talents going to find a niche in the world? So I always feel that iniquitous as competitions are, they actually are a help for those who get the prizes. It's a step up the ladder of recognition.
You know, Piers, I'm very interested in what you've said there about the way communication has developed, social media and so on. Do you think that is something, you know, is it almost like an unfair advantage compared to, for example, when you were competing yourself in the early stages of your career?
Well, we just did different things. You know, I remember going to the library at the Conservatorium in Brisbane, where I grew up, and discovering things on LPs in those days or on cassettes.
And who remembers those?
Make the effort. Yeah, having to make the effort to go and listen to something. And these days, at the touch of a button on your phone, you can, you know, listen to 25 performances and see what you like and all that sort of thing. So things are a lot easier in that way. But as I said, it's led to more competition in a way.
You know, we talk about the competition in terms of young musicians, competitions in every area of life and every area of outstanding achievement. But I've often compared myself, musicians, to athletes. I've said it many times. However, there is one huge difference here in that this is something that is so subjective.
True. You mean from the judge's point of view? Yes, you
Absolutely.
can't say who played the fastest scale, who played the softest pianissimo or the loudest crescendo or whatever. No, it is subjective, and that's why we need a jury of at least seven judges, as we have in Dublin, because there are different opinions and all sorts of things can influence the outcome. So it's always a majority decision. There would be certain people who would be voted for by all the judges, but they may well be somebody else who gets a majority of four out of seven of the votes or something and gets through from that point of view. But it's important to have that net to catch people, you know,
Do you
because
find
it is
that
subjective.
is there a very I know it's probably a very unfair question to ask in many ways because it's a bit like interfering with a conclave, but nevertheless, is there something an ineffable quality that is just as important as the technical skill, for example?
Oh, far more important, in fact. Yes, that's what you're looking for. You know, as a jury member, you're an audience member, you're a listener. You want to be touched, you want to be excited, you want to be moved in some way. Of course, you want to be admiring of how somebody gets around their instrument. The craft is terribly important, but above and beyond that is that ability to communicate with an audience and to, you know, you often can't pinpoint exactly what it is. I remember reading an article by Fanny Waterman, the formidable founder of the Leeds International Piano Competition. And when asked a similar question, she said she knows it when she hears it. And that's true. We're all like that, aren't we? Even if we're watching equestrian events or anything else, we know what is quality and what gets to us somehow, even if you don't know the technicalities of why. And that's what we want, that it quality above everything else. Obviously, you want somebody who knows every inch of the music and has studied it and thought about every single note in the score and why the composer has put it there. You want all that background and you want the pianistic ability, but on top of that, you want that indefinable star quality that will set somebody aside and whom people will want to work with, whom audiences will want to hear. It's that magical thing that we're searching for as well.
I also think, Piers, that as audience members, we all love, of course, holding our own opinion. And not that I would set any store by mine, because I always think that I can be the kiss of death if I really like something. But that that doesn't really matter. It is all part of it. But I'm interested to know, from your point of view, of having been involved in so many of these competitions, it's not perhaps totally true to feel in the case of this, which is, as we've said, something that's so subjective that only the winner wins. Very often people who are runners-up or in different categories or whatever can come to equal prominence at the end of the day.
Absolutely, or greater prominence. I remember one Leeds competition mentioning that just now, where Mitsuko Uchida came, I think, third, and Andras Schiff came fourth, and they've had
because it's hard to
far
imagine
bigger careers than the first prize winners. Yeah, well, it is Michelangeli. The great Michelangeli came seventh in his first competition, the first Queen Elizabeth competition. He was only 17 at the time, and I think Emil Gilels got one of the top prizes. So, you know, it everything's relative, but yeah. Yes, it's very important to remember that even if you don't get into the finals, you can be noticed by somebody. I've known that happen, where people have got engagements because somebody important in the audience had loved them and offered them work. And that's the important thing, isn't it? To have people who relate in some way to something they've heard and then act on it and invite that person to do things. And that's how to build a career. To be invited back is the most important thing. So first prize winners can be offered more engagements than others, but it's how they react with the people involved with those engagements, whether or not they'll be be invited back in the future and can build a career. It's we can give them the opportunity by giving them a top prize, but then they've got to know how to build on that and to build relationships that will be lifelong. I in my life I always think it's quite amusing, but I when I was young I felt that I wouldn't really arrive until my 60s, that everything until then was a practice, as it were, building upon experience, and gradually hopefully everything would come to fruition. Now I'm in my 60s, I'm not so sure, but you have to take a long-term view of these things, and to yes, you've got to have a quality that people want to work with, and so winning a prize is the first step. It's by no means have you made it if you've won first prize in a competition. And it seems to me these days, even if you win one of the top handful of competitions, you find those prize winners going in another competition. In fact, a former winner of Leeds, I notice, has just got into the next round of the Chopin competition, which is only held every 5 years. And that competition has a huge string of engagements attached to a prize. So he obviously feels it's worth going in that. But a huge risk when you've won a major competition to go in yet another one. But it seems to happen more and more these days. They've proliferated so much, haven't they?
And there is that also that other sort of devilish interference of nerves too, particularly for younger pianists. Perhaps that is some force of energy that is very necessary, but nevertheless, managing somehow to have the psychological strength to transcend that, particularly on an occasion like this for our young pianists tonight.
Oh, it's a huge thing. Just being in front of an orchestra to play a concerto is a huge thing if you haven't had much experience of it. And, you know, even when you have had a lot of experience, when you come to play a concerto again with an orchestra, after you've perhaps played it through on two pianos, to hear a theme coming from, you know, a far distant side of the orchestra, and then something behind your left ear, you've got to get used to that 3D space again at the first rehearsal. And if you're not used to doing that at all, that's a big thing to cope with. I think when the people are very young, often their nerve is stronger than when they're a tiny bit older and they've had more experience and they realize the responsibility that they have. It's a good thing to be very young. And, you know, it's all great fun and you're not counting on anything. It's when you're that bit older and you've been successful in other competitions or whatever, you feel you've got to do something special, and the pressure's on, and maybe you're at an age where you're not going to be able to do too many more competitions as well, and so you feel if you don't get a top prize in this one, what's going to happen to my career? That sort of thing. All those crazy pressures that people put on themselves. But yes, it is a huge thing to play in front of an orchestra, to play with a conductor that you've just met on the spot, to play in front of a large audience, and to have cameras on you for live streaming as well, an extra pressure these days. It is a potentially very stressful situation, and I've known finalists actually not play their best, you know, in the concerto round. They might be stunning in the solo rounds, but then suddenly in this less familiar situation, they feel a bit nervous and like a rabbit in the headlights. And yeah, the concerto round can sometimes be slightly weaker than the solo rounds, in fact, because they have less experience of that situation. And as you say, the pressure's on.
What do you think, or what would be your advice to, and I don't just mean the winner of the competition this evening, but all our young pianists tonight, that they might hope to take away from the experience that they'll have had over this last week here in Dublin?
Look, every experience is valuable, isn't it? Whether or not you've reached the finals, the judges this week have chatted with many of the competitors who didn't get through. Some competitors who don't wish to chat with the judges, which is a shame in a way. It's not that you want to say, you know, in bar such and such, you did this or that, but really just to chat about the career and how they came across and how perhaps they might think about coming across in future if they haven't got through. The experience isn't wasted no matter what happens. And the competitors this week have had all that experience of playing, getting works ready. And I know some of them prepared the works absolutely just for this week. People, it's tricky when you're young, you have to amass repertoire. And it can be a difficult thing if you're going in competitions regularly because you want to play works with which you're totally familiar and perhaps have been successful with in the past. But at the same time, you've got to add new works to your repertoire all the time. So many of them will have had that experience with this competition, that they've increased their repertoire, they've had more experience performing in public certain works. But they've also met their colleagues. I was always amazed when I was competing for the first time in that Sydney competition when I was 18, that people I met there became colleagues for life. You don't realize it at the time, but for instance, the lady who came sixth in that competition, Manana Dorjasvili, was a wonderful person, and she ended up director of music in Tbilisi. And I ended up going there to judge their competition and to play in a festival one time. And there are many others actually from that first competition who I meet still. And yes, that's another great thing, that they sort of network without realizing it. The people that they're sharing the event with will be their future colleagues. And they've got an audience here too. I'm sure if some of those who didn't even get through end up coming back to Dublin to play for some reason, there'll be people here who will be delighted. Oh, we heard you first in the competition. There's all sorts of spin-offs from these things. And some of our people, including some who didn't get through this week, are immediately going to Fort Worth in Texas to the Van Cliburn competition. So it will have been very good for them to have that experience of competition nerves and the experience here to help them next week when they play in the Van Cliburn, which is another rather daunting one to enter.
Piers, it's been fascinating to have this little talk with you, and as I say, to get some real insight as to what goes on in the sort of behind closed doors, in a way, for one of the judges. All again part of the fascination and the enigma of these amazing competitions. But there is one thing I do want to ask you on behalf of all of our listeners here on RT Lyric FM before we let you go and return for a final and the climax, of course, of this year's competition, the results that we're about to hear a little later on this evening. But what I really want to know is, when are you coming back to play for us here, maybe at the National
Oh,
Concert
gosh.
Hall?
I don't know. I remember playing the Bliss Piano Concerto in there years ago, but I played in Galway just last week on the Tuesday. One of the judges, Finian Collins, had invited, couldn't come for family reasons, and he asked me to take over the concert. And I must say, it was lovely. Wonderful audience in Galway, music for Galway, and beautiful Steinway in St. Joseph's Church, the new church that they're using, with a great acoustic. And I played all of Chopin's Nocturnes, and that was a very special event. And yes, it's lovely to be back in Ireland. It's been a while.
Well, Piers, we look forward to welcoming you back again and again. And I'm very pleased that you mentioned the goals that we can conserve for our 60s, because I'm there myself. And I feel it's only just beginning now that I've talked to you. Definitely, definitely more room to be moving on. But in the meantime, at any rate, Piers Lane, from all of us here on RT Lyric FM, our great thanks, and enjoy the rest of the evening and the results to come. Thank you so much.
Likewise, thank you, Paul.
You're listening to RTE Lyric Live from the Dublin International Piano Competition.